It's Thursday, July the 7th, and you're tuned in to the TNB podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world. Surprise, surprise.
Wow. These mics, like, surround sound?
No,
like,
why?
If I go like, it's not like both ears or like that.
I have to set it to stereo.
Damn.
But right. I export in mono, because I hate that.
Dude, what?
There's nothing worse than when you listen to a podcast, two people, and you're like, oh, person A only comes out of the left side.
Yeah.
Person B only comes out of the right.
That's why you need both headphones for the full experience.
In theory, you would think it'd be cool.
Yeah.
But it sucks.
It does.
It's only great if you're monitoring and you have to
check some levels.
Yeah. But otherwise, it sucks.
Mono all the way, baby.
There are ways you can have that spatial audio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only supported on certain devices, one of which is the Apple AirPods.
I saw the smile even before you said the words. This man has been trying. I'm in the market for a new phone, and this man has been trying to get me to buy an iPhone for the past 3 weeks.
Listen, it's not just me. TJ has converted, and he's told you too.
No, but you're the instigator.
Why am I the instigator?
If it weren't for you starting it, TJ would have just let bygones be bygones.
No, he wouldn't, because TJ was always champion Android, and then he was like, you know what?
I went back.
I just wanted to have an easy piece of device that just does what I want it to do.
He didn't want to have to keep jailbreaking his phone.
Don't get me wrong. I understand the appeal of super customization and cross-compatibility and being able to take your own shit apart.
Of course.
But sometimes you just want your shit to work.
Yeah, but what about
AirPods
jailbreaking your phone?
Please, you haven't done that in years.
I haven't done it in years. You're right.
Hell, you haven't done it at all. You haven't done it on this phone.
I did it on the S4.
You didn't do it on this phone.
No, on this phone, no.
No, you didn't. So either of two versions of this phone.
It's the same version. I just bought it twice.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Anyways, green iPhone. It's looking good.
I was just looking at that green S Pen, you know?
Shut up.
Everyone's using the S Pen.
No one's using the S Pen.
Everyone's like, damn, if it weren't for the S Pen.
I don't think I've heard anybody even talk about the S Pen.
Interesting.
Let alone, have the need or want.
For an S Pen?
Yeah. The idea that it even exists is a surprise to me.
I've been looking at some reviews.
But you know what people love to use?
iPads.
The Apple Pencil.
Ugh, terrible.
Now, that is a device. That is a utility device.
Same thing.
My friend, I know you always wanted a Wacom tablet, but let me tell you.
I don't even draw. What?
I know. And yet I know you want this.
Listen, I want a lot of things that I don't have need for, all right? But the S Pen
is not a
I might need. Have a need.
What's the need?
To write things down on my phone.
So, have you heard of the Apple Pencil?
No, never.
Well, let me tell you, it's even better than this S Pen.
Can I play Osu on it?
You can.
Okay. All right.
You can play whatever you want on it, baby. Listen, just get the iPhone. Just do it.
We'll see.
Your mom has it.
We'll see. And that's it.
And you can have it.
I think, it's like you two and my mom. And it's like I can iMessage the boys even though we don't use text.
Blavin has it.
Blavin doesn't have an iPhone, does he?
He does.
What?
Blavin's always had an iPhone.
Oh, wow. Just never noticed, I guess.
Yes. You know why he has it?
Why?
Because he just wants something that works.
Oh, my God.
You know who's the least technologically literate? Blavin.
Is he not? I guess he's not.
He's not.
I don't know if he's illiterate.
No. But I mean, he cares the least about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, true.
He just wants his stuff to work.
Yeah, for sure.
That's why he's got an iPhone.
All right. Okay.
Listen, I'm not just trying to say out there that you guys should buy iPhones, but you all should buy iPhones.
We're not even sponsored. Why are you giving this free advertisement, dude?
Buy an iPhone.
Oh, my God. The man does not quit. He does not stop.
And if you don't buy an iPhone today, don't worry. 2 months' time, new iPhones.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about it on the show.
Yes, we will. I'll tell you all about it. In the meantime, the new MacBook Air is out this month.
You buying it?
M2. Midnight.
You buying it?
No.
Oh, my God.
I ran out of money.
How'd you run out of money?
I may have bought a watch.
You just said you didn't buy a watch
earlier. Yeah, I did say that. And then I also said I have to go back next week to view something.
Oh, my God.
And it may have required a deposit.
This man.
Anyways.
You're brutal.
I know.
You got so many watches.
In the meantime.
Why do you have a tape measure in your day? What are you doing with your life right now?
Measuring tape?
A new tape measure?
No, I've always had that.
Oh, okay, all
right. I needed to measure my inseam.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I was looking at bikes, I didn't know what size I needed.
You don't have like the Taylor tape or whatever?
I couldn't find it.
Okay.
So I wanted to go like, I was like, but I don't want to go buy it. And I thought, what if I go to IKEA? You know how IKEA is just the paper?
Yeah.
I was like, that's too much of an effort. So I found my tape measure in the toolbox.
What's I know up? What you're doing with this.
What?
You're measuring butt to tip.
Dude, we already know.
Dude.
25 inches.
Exactly.
Butt to tip. At the tip of the curve. Peak of the curve. I know. I'm including the hairs, too.
The thrust velocity.
Oh, the full spectrum? That's 50 inches, man.
Oh, that video's so good. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Anyways, what was I saying? I know what I was saying. Last week, we hinted that we were talking about Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Yo, surprise, surprise.
We're going to talk about Monster Hunter.
In fact, I didn't even care to look for picks. I just knew that there was a video of something that came out, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And I don't have anything else to talk about, because I literally only can talk about Monster Hunter this week. So
that's crazy.
I'm going to get everything else out of the way before I go into Monster Hunter.
Okay.
Okay?
Do it.
My only pick this week.
Yes.
Square Enix has a new trailer for Valkyrie Elysium. Cool character action game. But the cool thing about this.
Let's talk about the game first.
Yeah, it looks all right.
Dude, the game looks pretty fucking sick.
Yeah,
it's like kind of Tails, you know?
Yeah.
It's going around a little bit, maybe a little bit of Neo in there, a little bit of Dark Souls.
Listen, I think it looks promising.
This is the Dark Souls of anime games.
Oh, shut up. It looks good.
I don't know. I haven't been excited for like a Valkyrie profile game in a long time, and this looks pretty fucking sick.
I think it looks awesome. But the bigger news is that if you buy the digital deluxe edition, or just the regular deluxe edition,
goddamn hypocrite,
you get Valkyrie Profile Lenith, the PSP RPG action game.
Long Gillespie. Did I misjudge my blow?
But even greater news.
You know that game's old, right?
This is the iPhone version.
But this game's old. This is a retro game.
Well, it depends. Which one are you talking about?
The Lenith.
The PSP one?
I'm talking about Lenith in general. Oh. All right? Just because I brought out Chrono Trigger on the iPhone doesn't mean that it's not retro anymore.
But do you know that the PSP is actually a remake of an older title?
See? Even older.
Like it's double retro?
It's double old. You're proving me wrong. Proving me right. Sorry.
Whatever. I love this game on the PSP.
Dude, what a hypocrite.
And then it re-released on the iPhone, and I totally forgot.
This man just talks shit about old games all day.
But the crazier news is, if you just want this game and you don't want Elysium, you can buy it separately.
Yeah, I would hope so. That'd be a pretty ballsy move for them to remaster a remaster and then only allow it through pre-orders. That'd be crazy.
No, Call of Duty did it.
With what?
Modern Warfare.
You can only get Modern Warfare remastered through buying Modern Warfare, the new one?
That's how they did it for the first year.
Oh, that's fucking wild. Holy shit, that's so dumb.
Yeah, and then the following year they released it
as a standalone. Yeah, because I was like, I have it standalone.
Yeah, for $20.
All right.
Yeah, they did it.
That's wild.
Anyways, it looks cool. Valkyrie Elysium plus Lenith. I'm excited. September cannot come sooner, except Dealfield Chronicles always comes out the same time. So I don't know what I'm going to do. So many cool RPGs. Why play other games? Only RPGs from Japan.
We watched that other RPG.
Oh, Grand Blue Fantasy?
Grand Blue Fantasy. We watched that other RPG.
The Grand Blue Fantasy Relinked.
Relinked. Yeah. You know, it's going to go into Recoded, and then the Kingdom Hearts crossover.
No.
Is going to happen?
No.
You don't want Sora in Grand Blue?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, but what about that other cool JRPG, anime JRPG?
Star Ocean. Oh, God.
That shit looked cool, too.
I mean, it looked all right. Like, I'm not going to say it looked super cool.
I think Star Ocean games are underrated. They're fun.
I don't know if they're underrated. They're certainly not overrated.
Are they rated?
Bro, they're rated.
When you play them, are you whelmed?
I'm hella whelmed, man. I'm super hella whelmed.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
That's it? Those are your picks? That's all you got?
I want to say yeah. Oh, no. There was a trailer for an anime thing. Trigun. What's it called?
It doesn't matter because dog shit. It looks dumb.
Shut up.
It looks lame. This looks wicked. Fuck,
what are you talking about?
I forgot to talk about Trigun last week.
So,
week.
Okay. Do you honestly not like the look of Trigun Stampede?
I did not.
I think it looks wicked. It's obviously it's CG.
Yeah, 100%.
But I really like the style. It reminds me of like what I would imagine Avatar: The Last Airbender would be like if it came out today.
All these characters look like fucking Duplo block characters.
What's wrong with like it looks all right? It's anime. It looks like a cartoon. Like it should be.
It's anime. It looks like a cartoon. It should be. What was that sentence? What are you popping off about? You okay?
Listen, I am a little sleep deprived. Okay. Don't judge me. I sacrificed my own well-being for this show.
You did it for yourself. Get out of here.
So let me tell you, when I say the Trigun looks like a cartoon because it's an anime, because it should be, I mean it.
Who do you think you are? I am. The fuck?
That's right.
All right.
I'm glad you understand. Now that we've agreed on that, I think we all are excited for the new Trigun.
No, it looks dumb. I hate it.
I do think we need a remaster of the original Trigun, though, because if you try to watch OG Trigun, whew.
The animation in that show is still insane.
I don't care if
but
it's insane.
It is 4x3, 480p.
It's not 40p.
40i.
It's not even that.
I think it is.
No, it's like 240.
It's not 240.
Yeah, it is. It's from the 90s.
Yeah, but it's old.
Like, it needs upscaling or something. Like, it needs, like, a new transfer. Like, re-release the high-quality DVDs.
Yeah, do some AI upscaling.
Like, we need something.
You know what? Just like everyone's critically acclaimed favorite anime, Virtua Fighter the Anime, how they're getting the DVD upgrade. You know?
What a stupid...
Oh, I gotta pre-order that for you.
Why?
I gotta get that for
you.
No. Because you love anime. You love anime DVDs, dude.
Thank God.
You love owned physical media.
I don't know. No.
No, I don't like
the
it.
Idea that I'm buying a Blu-ray to not get Blu-ray content.
Yeah, it's retro cool.
That is unbelievably wasteful.
That's sick. I hate so it. Cool.
Just let me download it illegally. And I'll be happy.
You know what else is cool, Vince?
None of your picks.
My picks are pretty cool.
All right.
But not this game. I came out with like a rumor, I think last week, maybe a couple weeks ago, that Lollipop Chainsaw was getting a remake.
Can't wait.
Turns out Lollipop Chainsaw is getting a remake, 2023. But as a little twist of fate, it turns out Suda51 and James Gunn have nothing to do with the remake.
Okay.
So the company who is doing the remake, they will have full creative control because they said they are going to upgrade, quote unquote, upgrade a bunch of stuff. Probably combat, maybe some game mechanics.
For some reason, I thought Suda owned the rights to this game.
No, I think this was like this whole game was like funded by somebody else.
And oh,
he just took it to make a new game.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, so yeah, they mentioned. Or was it James Gunn came out? He's like, I neither endorse nor commend it. I simply don't know anything about it. Or condemn it. I simply don't know anything about it.
Fair enough. That's like when Christian Bale asked about how he feels about Pattinson's Batman. He's like, I don't know.
I didn't watch it.
Exactly.
But yeah. So Dragami Games is the one who's going to be remaking this game from 2012. This game's 10 years old.
Okay.
And
I'm excited.
Yeah,
can't wait.
We'll see how it goes. It's now a little bit... You know what? I might be more excited because I didn't like this game. Listen, I'm a hater, all right? I know a lot of people like Lollipop Chainsaw, but I'm going to go out on a limb, all right? I'm going to be the gamer haterade kid.
Surprise.
None of the people who liked that game played it, all right? Cuz that game didn't sell a shit, okay? And everybody who likes it just likes it for the aesthetic.
She's cute.
Yeah, it's a big titty blonde girl with a chainsaw. What's not to like?
When I saw this news story, I was like, oh man, that just reminds me of Margot Robbie.
Yeah, what if they got Margot Robbie to play Juliet?
And then those Margot Robbie pictures of her in the Barbie movie.
Yeah.
With the like neon colored roller skates.
She's a Barbie.
She's wearing like the one piece bathing suit over the leotard thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, damn, Margot Robbie is fucking hot.
No.
And then Ryan Gosling's beside him. I'm like, oh my God, Ryan Gosling is fucking hot.
There's some good looking people.
I was like, damn.
If you were to make a Barbie movie, you'd probably get both of those people.
Absolutely. I'm like, this is a perfect casting.
Is there anybody else that you would get instead?
To be those two? No, because like I could probably think of people who are hotter than Ryan Gosling, but I don't know if they have the amount of suave he has.
Yeah.
And I think Ken needs that.
Yeah.
And I don't think I could think of another current actress that has the like specific attractiveness of Margot Robbie to encapsulate Barbie.
That makes sense.
I don't know,
but yeah, so Lollipop Chainsaw is coming out.
Yay.
It's gonna be a fucking toss-up if it'll be
you pre-order or what. You pre-order or what?
It's not even, you can't pre-order yet.
Okay, That's what he says.
At least not that I've seen.
Next week, guys, look at this receipt for my pre-order.
You know what I did pre-order, though?
Oh, shut up.
I pre-ordered No More Heroes 3.
No, you didn't.
For the PS5.
Didn't you, like, epically, like, wait for that on the Wii?
And the Switch?
Switch?
Yeah.
Wii U?
On the Switch.
Which one was it?
It's a Switch. It's a Switch game.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's a new game?
Yeah, it's like, came out last year.
And now you want on the PS...
Cinco? Is that five? Yeah.
Why?
Because, as I mentioned before, that game runs like shit.
It's not on the PS4?
It is on the PS4.
What?
Yeah.
Why do you want it on the 5?
Because I'm optimistic about by then I will have a PS5.
Oh, I see. All right. Listen, just make some connections with some people.
I got to know some guys who know some guys.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
Have them make a call. They hook you up.
I work in Toronto now. I can make some hookups.
You just got to dump a bit more into those charisma slots and then you're good to go.
All right. Okay. My next story I got is some drama.
About
from Japan, from Japan.
Oh, okay.
Yuji Naka throwing shots at Square Enix.
Oh, for Balan.
For Balan's Wonderland.
Yeah, yeah. Wonder World.
Wonder World. Is it? Wonderland? Wonder World?
Wonder World. Wonderland's Canada.
Whatever. Who cares?
Wow.
They both suck.
You haven't been to Wonderland in years.
Exactly. I wonder why. Because it's booty.
Oh, God. Because you suck.
Yuji Naka has been talking some shit on Twitter.
Has
in English.
Now? Has he now?
Because he...
What's he saying?
...feels salty. Apparently, some news came out about why Balan's Wonder World is so bad. It turns out they released a half-finished game.
Yeah, so I remember like when he originally tweeted these out in Japanese.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there... Besides that, was there like more to it? Because I know he said that it wasn't finished.
It wasn't finished, you're
right. And then the excuse behind it was, what do you call it? Like, development goes up until the day it goes gold or to launch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the example he used was like, in Sonic, we didn't change the fact that even one ring would keep you alive until like a week before it went gold.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So what's he saying here?
He's saying a lot of it, kind of the same stuff in English. But the big thing that's coming out is that it turns out there was some internal turmoil at Square Enix.
I can only imagine why. Okay.
And so after being taken off Balan's Wonderland much too early, it turns out that when he went to go sue Square Enix, he filed a lawsuit against them during like the discovery process.
Yes.
It turns out they've been planning to kick Yuji Naka out of Square for a while. And it all came from his previous coworker, who was the programmer on Sonic the Hedgehog, Naoto Oshima.
Like they were friends and now they're not?
Now they're not. And so Yuji Naka, he posted up a picture of like the Nights release when Nights into Dreams came out.
On the Dreamcast?
On the Dreamcast. And he photoshopped Naoto out of the picture. And he's just like, how would you feel if you were erased from this and blah, blah, blah. And it turns out Square Enix is tired of Yuji Naka. They just needed him out at any cost, apparently, for some reason. Square Enix obviously hasn't mentioned any reason why.
And they won't.
This is the case. And they will not unless like any sort of court filings become public.
Yeah, this isn't exactly Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. All right.
But yeah, it's crazy. I think his last tweet, he came out, it was like, how would you feel if you were suddenly removed from a game that you had worked hard over 2 years? And when you went to court, you found out that they had been talking about me behind my back in court documents. And and that is why I was removed from the game. So it turns out he got office politicked.
Damn.
And that's why Balan Wonderworld is dog shit.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah. Now I got to go buy Balan's Wonderworld.
Yeah.
I got to find a copy of that.
All right.
But there's some more story. I doubt we'll probably get any more like relevant information.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm sure Yuji Naka will keep talking shit.
Uh-huh.
But in terms of anything that's like worth reporting on, I think that story is just kind of done.
Yeah, yeah.
It is though nice to see that Yuji Naka didn't ship a fucking dog shit game on purpose. It was kind of out of his control in this case.
So. That's good to hear. I guess maybe. Sure. Why not?
Diablo Immortal.
Yo.
Recently set records on Metacritic.
Yeah.
Has a user score of 0.2.
Okay.
It's been reported that it takes $110,000 to level up your character to max, right? It is the craziest microtransaction scummy shit that's ever been released ever.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. Because Diablo Immortal, according to some data brought out by AppMagic and reported on mobilegamer.biz, Diablo Immortal has been making more than $1 million a day.
Okay.
it has been downloaded over 10 million times. According to the Blizzard CEO or Blizzard president currently,
yeah,
he has mentioned that most people don't pay anything for this game.
Makes sense.
Which makes sense.
I believe that 51% of the community are not buying, yes. Yeah.
And he's come out and said, our microtransaction stuff is only relevant until you get to the end game, and that's where you might want to buy some stuff to upgrade faster. But okay. You can do, what did he say, quote, 99.5% of the game for free.
Okay.
Which is kind of an overstatement. I've been seeing a lot of videos on, like, how progression is in that game. And it's like, yeah, technically you can, but the amount of time you'd have to put in doesn't really translate.
Yeah.
But it kind of goes to show, like, these kind of games, these gacha games.
Hell yeah.
They're too crazy of a business model. And this is after... is this before? I think these numbers came out before Blizzard got locked out of China.
Okay.
So I don't know how that's going to affect next month. But did you see that story? Did I mention that story before?
No.
So fucking Blizzard China, the marketing team, got almost all Blizzard games banned from China.
Oh, wow. What did they say? What did they do?
They had brought out a tweet that was like, when is the bear? So Xi Jinping, you know how he's being called Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah.
He's like, when is the bear going to like get off his throne, basically give up the presidential seat, right?
Why would they say that?
I think some guy who was working there was like anti-communist party, and he snuck it in there.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, I can't imagine why a video game company would have that kind of marketing related to, okay, whatever.
Yeah, and it turns out that after that one tweet, they got Diablo Immortal banned. They got, I think Overwatch 2 is now not going to be released. Diablo 4 is definitely not going to be released. And any future Blizzard games are not going to come out until, like, I guess either they strike a deal with China or they apologize or whatever.
Yeah, okay, that's... wow.
So that's kind of fucking wild. This story, the Diablo Immortal story, I feel like people were way more negative on it than like any other gacha game.
Yeah, I was going to say, because like Nintendo is that Fire Emblem game that makes equal amounts of money.
And nobody really gives a shit because they forgot.
No, because there's Nintendo.
Yeah, and I think this game caught a lot of heat because of the way Diablo Immortal was announced.
Yeah.
When they're at BlizzCon and they show a new Diablo and they're like, it's a mobile game. And then that guy came up and said, like, is this an April Fool's joke?
Yeah.
Right. So it kind of had all the hate behind it, but it's like, dude, business be business. It doesn't matter. I kind of wonder, like, is the gaming community that shallow, or are the people who are playing this type of game not the gaming community type of thing?
I don't really know anymore. I think I don't, because I wouldn't say the people who are playing Diablo Immortal are not gamers.
I would definitely say they're gamers for sure.
Are they a different audience? Absolutely. Yeah. Like, gaming has gotten so big, we're all separate.
I think
now.
It's the biggest entertainment medium now in terms of revenue or something.
I mean, if it's making $1 million a day for this one game, I hope it is.
Yeah, $1 million a day in a month.
Yeah, think about that. Most movies struggle to make that in their like release window.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
It's one of those things. It's like, either is the gameplay too addictive to be legal? Do gamers actually not give a fuck and they're just talking out their asses, but they won't back it up with their wallet? Or is like wealth disparity so crazy that there's like five people spending $200,000 a day on Diablo Immortal? Like, I don't know what's up.
Could be. Like, sometimes I wonder who has all this money. And then I like see in the car world, we always see these like, oh, Lamborghini, the Countach, the renewed Countach. That's a 2 million euro car.
Yeah.
They only made 200 examples, but you can't buy them because they immediately sold out.
Yep.
And you have to believe that, wow, is there really that many people who can buy this? But then that's how it is with every supercar,
yeah,
right? And so it's like There are. Maybe there just is that many people who's just, yeah.
And right? when you take it out worldwide, like, right, like how many?
Yeah. Wild.
What's the classic? Like, what a Saudi prince is buying, like, 17 of those, right?
And you don't have to be, like, incredibly rich, right? You just have to have an addiction.
Exactly. Because, yeah, like, it is kind of just gambling.
Right? We see this different industry, but kind of the same mentality. Do you remember when there were stories of how Japanese salarymen would live in these tiny condos and dump all their money into their cars? In fact, this still happens, right?
It still happens.
And you see it, and it's like, yeah, they're like a very small percentage of the community, but they have the craziest cars. So I believe it's a thing. At the end of the day, if this means that this is funding the Blizzard games that I want to play, cool, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Part of me is like, kind of like bummed that, like, yeah, after all that shit talking, it's still like one of the most profitable games ever. But also, not everyone lives on the internet. So what you see being outspoken on Twitter is not the general populace's opinion.
I doubt it isn't the general opinion, because I think about, we always see numbers for how many consoles sell, like Switch and stuff. But everyone knows the most successful gaming device is the iPhone.
True.
So Anthony, as a video game expert and video game, I feel like you need to be on the platform.
Listen,
the platform of choice. See, I feel for like all gamers.
It that makes sense in theory.
No, that makes sense. Theory. Period.
But if everyone's already on the iPhone, why would I add to the pile? You know, I want to be on the bleeding edge. I want to get people to know the cool new stuff. I got to buy that NFT console that just came out.
All right. I better not see you buy a PlayStation.
So, yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. Diablo Immortal continues to be a very interesting business case, an experiment. It'll probably be fucking studied in, like, Harvard Business School documents and shit. Yeah. It's insane. It's so crazy. For something with such a negative outcome, how it can be so, so successful.
Yeah. Did you see, this just reminds you of the bad marketing. Did you remember, or did you see that tweet that EA did that got them in trouble?
Oh, the one where he's like,
she's a
10, but she likes single player games.
She only plays single player games.
I'm like, that's a bonus. What the fuck?
Yeah. And they're like, you guys made Anthem.
You guys made Anthem. Dude.
There was so much backlash.
They delete the tweet, right? And then they apologize?
Yeah, because developers were EA developers were getting harassed by it.
It's like, dude, we also make single player games.
Yeah.
How's Battlefield, dog? Shit's still broken? What the fuck?
Yeah, it was just not in good taste.
Oh my God, that shit's so funny.
I know.
That was great. That was fantastic.
It was a good meme, but like, man, really missed the mark on that one.
And then my other pick is a little bit of Anthony Doomsaying. It's about the digital future.
Yeah.
So two digital, I guess, stories made waves in the news. PlayStation, you know the PlayStation Store?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, you know you can buy movies on it?
I've never.
Neither have I. But in Germany and Austria, due to some digital rights and licensing agreements, any movie that is under the Studio Canal license, basically, will be removed from the platform.
Okay.
And if you bought the movie, if you have ownership of that digital movie, they are taking it away.
Whoa.
So there's a whole list you can find. There's like 300 pieces that of movies that are coming out of Germany and like just over 100 out of Austria. And there's a whole list you can find. The story was broken by Flat Panels HD.
Right.
And there's some big hitters in there.
Sure, sure.
But it's still, I bought this movie. I was told that I owned this movie. And Sony has now said, you don't anymore.
Yep.
So one of the big things in this is that Sony PR, to try and tackle this, has said these people will be able to watch their movies on demand streaming. But then that brings in the other problem of, well, if your movie purchasing platform didn't work, you're definitely not going to compete with Netflix or any of the other streaming services.
Yeah.
So like, it's just only a matter of time before that goes down. And then I bought money to own something I don't own anymore.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side of that, Ubisoft is shutting down multiplayer servers for a couple older games. So like a lot of the older Assassin's Creed, Far Cry 3, which is no surprise.
Right? Yeah, it makes sense.
You can't keep servers up forever. Like, I totally get that.
Yeah.
But some DLC on the PC will no longer be accessible. So products that you presumably have bought to own.
Yeah.
And if you bought it on PC, just kind of get fucked. You don't own it anymore. You're not allowed to access it anymore. We're taking away that from you.
Is this DLC related to the multiplayer?
Either to multiplayer or to Ubisoft, like their link stuff. They're not really clear on which specific DLC is going away. So like for Assassin's Creed 3, it says you will be unable to play multiplayer, link Ubisoft accounts, or use online features. Additionally, on PC, the installation and access to downloadable content will be unavailable. So that sounds pretty total. And the way they word that makes it seem like any single player DLC you bought on PC just will cease to exist on your account.
Was there a single player DLC?
I don't know. So these games are like 10 years old now. I haven't gone back and checked them in a while, and the amount of research I would have had to do to figure out which pieces are gone would be, I didn't care enough.
That sucks.
So that kind of sucks. It really is, like, I don't know. I was right, bitch. No. But it's that DLC future where going all digital, all the kinks still aren't worked out yet.
I mean,
so I guess this is more of like a PSA of like, if you owned any movies or you own any old Ubisoft games on PC, kind of check what you own. See if any of that's going away, and then maybe make a complaint to Ubisoft and you can get something out of it. So
sure. Yeah.
But yeah, that fucking sucks. But you know what doesn't suck? My last pick today. Arcades are back, baby.
No.
Arcades are back.
No.
So Sega sold off all of their arcade, basically physical stores last year and the year before because of the pandemic. They're trying to get out of the arcade business. But it turns out Genda, who bought all of the Sega arcades or whatever, I think that they're, what's their under now? Genga Gigo Entertainment is their parent company, okay. I believe. This year they have posted a profit of 3.175 billion yen, roughly 24 million US dollar redos.
Okay.
And so.
So what bullshit did they pull to report this?
What are you talking about? Arcades are back, baby.
What bullshit in the reporting did they do?
All right, Vince, you may be familiar with this. Have you ever heard about accounting?
Oh, one might say I'm quite the expert.
So the thing with arcade machines is that they are expensive.
Oh, they sure are.
And when you first buy them, they cost a lot of money.
Oh, because they claim it as amortizing over...
Yeah.
And that's why they have no expense for the first year.
So it turns out that in the transfer of ownership, they have been reevaluing the assets.
Yeah, so they...
And they've taken a impairment loss.
Oh, over how long?
I believe it was just over the purchase. So since last year, probably 2 years.
Okay.
And by taking those impairment losses,
they're worth
lower the listed value of the assets, which then they enjoy depreciated costs, which then on the balance sheet helps them make a fuck ton of money technically on paper. And so they posted up a 3.2 billion yen profit.
Honestly, accounting's stupid. It's honestly just
dude, accounting's crazy.
It's the dumbest shit.
Can you explain to like the layman who wouldn't know about like depreciating assets and what that stuff is?
Okay, so say you buy any piece of equipment, right? Now, what happens is, like, when you and I buy a computer, right? Say the computer costs $1,000.
Yes.
Right? To us, that comes out of our bank, like $1,000 straight, done, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
In a business, technically, when you trade money for a computer, mm-hmm. that's classified as an asset now, right?
Yeah. I've exchanged my capital for a good.
However, instead of a straight direct transfer of cash to goods...
Mm-hmm.
for a one-to-one of $1,000, what you will do is you'll say, well, how long will this asset be of use to me, like my useful life,
yes.
right? And let's just say I don't know, computers have a 5-year life. It's like way too long, I know, but trust me, whatever.
Just for the example.
Then we will say in the first year, if that computer was $1,000, we will only say it cost us $200 this year. But you gain the full value of the computer as a full asset. So where the full $1,000.
So if you're losing $200, where does that $800 go?
Exactly. So that just sits on your balance sheet, right? As a
positive.
Right. And you only take it out yearly at a time. And this is separate from any other profits you're gaining. And that's how they... But because you said this was a transfer ship, they didn't actually spend the original cost that Sega put in for this.
Yes.
And so when they took it, well, like you said, they reevaluated it much lower. Mm-hmm. And then they did this whole thing.
Yes.
So it's kind of like the opposite of goodwill. Like, you know what goodwill is, right, on a company?
It's been years.
So like goodwill is like if you have a company,
yeah,
right, and you think it's worth this much, but I pay X dollars amount over, the difference is goodwill. You can't value that. Yeah. It's just what I deem you were worth, that extra amount. So this is the opposite, where it's like...
Badwill.
I bought you for way less, and then I deemed your shit worth. So I understand how this works. The problem is if income doesn't come in at a high enough rate, then this will all even out at the end of their accounting, whatever their predicted life is, okay? So who knows?
Yeah, and that $200 over 5 year example, that's only for like straight line depreciation.
You got it.
Where there's other ways you can do some wild shit where it's like exponential depreciation.
Like double declining. Yeah,
double decline.
You have all the different ways you could do it, but
to cook the books, baby.
Yeah, and like honestly, accounting is dumb. Sometimes I look at this shit, I'm like, why are we doing this?
Why can't we just give you $1,000 and then you give me $1,000? Yeah. So for reference, I'll give you the numbers of what it was. So in March of 2020, the last full year of business, the Sega company, their fixed assets were listed at slightly under 24.8 billion yen. In January of this year, the first of all of Genda Gaigo's management periods, all of its fixed assets were listed at less than half, at 11.5 billion yen.
Wow.
So they undercut that shit by a lot.
But I'm assuming the amount of income that the arcades are making have not really changed, and that's why
and so that is actually why they're making quote-unquote billions of dollars in revenue. It's not that arcades are back and people are going in droves, right? There's no like invader boom, like they're running out of 100 yen coins. It's accounting.
It's stupid. It's dumb.
I thought that was a really interesting story. You guys can read it on Sora News 24. I really like this website, actually. I'll just give them a shout out. They have a lot of really interesting like Japan news stuff that's translated over into English. But yeah, it's
lame.
It's wild. Accounting's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So you can check out that story if you want. But those are all of my picks.
Wow.
Yeah. Let me start off with my week because I got like one more thing other than Monster Hunter.
No, you're not. I'm going to read a question.
Oh, we got a question? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Right at the buzzer, baby.
Paul Chu writes in with a question to chew on.
He knows when to write them in.
What songs are in your Get Hyped playlist? If you have no desire to ever get hyped and cannot answer this, which anime has the most hype theme song?
Dude, I'm gonna start humming some bars, all right?
Shut up.
Dude, and you're gonna get absolutely jazzed, right?
Okay.
Dude, the Haruhi theme, that shit's a banger. Oh my god.
Oh my goodness.
Dude, you ever like lifting some weight, doing some reps, and the Haruhi theme kicks in?
No.
Dude, that shit.
But I tell you, I get when I'm lifting and suddenly I'm feeling 22 comes on.
True.
Like, let me tell you,
bro, true.
When the T Swift and 22 comes on,
and you know, I can't make it up this hill, and then like, cause I'm feeling 22.
Yeah, that's the like, one. Baby. Oh man, just gets me going.
Oh, my hype play. There's a lot of like rap in there for me.
Yeah, like hard rap. I understand people are like, oh yeah, like metal is their thing. Yeah.
not DMX, baby. Yeah,
rap is my thing. But for me, I have a playlist. It's called the Initial D Final Best Collection.
Euro Mix.
That's what gets me hype.
Yeah. I got a playlist on Spotify that's called I'm Too White for This Playlist.
Wow. How direct.
I know. And it's there's a lot of rap. There's like Give Me the Loot by Notorious B.I.G. That's a banger.
Yeah.
Party Up in Here, DMX, classic.
Yeah.
Dude, what's the fucking Bank Account by 21 Savage?
Oh, yeah.
I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, yeah. That song's great. Life's a Bitch and Then You Die by Nas.
Wow.
It's a good song.
Wow.
Pretty much any Wu-Tang song. Old Dirty
Bastard. Oh, yeah. All the Wu-Tang songs. Yeah, yeah.
Cream, Cash Flows Everything Around Me, Cream Get the Money, Dollar dude, Dollar Bill,
dude,
y'all.
What? What? What?
There's a lot of kind of bang. Like you mentioned, there's been a lot of metal and rock in my hype playlist.
Yeah.
I've been getting into a lot of like noise metal.
Oh,
noise
really?
Rock.
Okay.
So it's a lot of like, a lot of screeches, a lot of loud reverberating guitars.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands, I would say like top three bands, is Metz. They're from Toronto, M-E-T-Z, and they're noise rock. I think they've released like two albums out of their whole discography that I think are like tens. Like there's not a single song on there that I don't like.
Yeah.
And it's just completely hyped up. I think one of the harder ones for people to get into, and I don't think I've met anybody other than me who likes this band, but they're called Lightning Bolt. And
I couldn't tell you
if you've ever played Rock Band 3. They're in like
that's just very highly specific.
Yeah,
but okay.
They had a song in Rock Band 3 that was like the hardest drum song in the game that they couldn't, like, a lot of people fucking hated because they hated the song, and then also the song was hard. So
really,
yeah. But I really like Lightning Bolt. That's not for everybody though.
Okay.
K-pop sometimes.
Oh yeah, K-pop's pretty good. Yeah,
I got that. I got another playlist called Koreaboo Shit.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of good stuff in there. Get some Jay Park, get some Twice. What is Love?
Oh,
what
is
Love?
A lot of like the girl band K-pop shit really gets me hyped.
Yeah. And there's like a lot of that where like, do you ever watch The Trash Taste Guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember when like Connor was just like, I like the Beeps and Boops?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Korean music for me.
That's all music for me.
Oh, you fucking monster. Well, yeah, Korean music is like in a space.
I've never felt more connected with a single individual when he said that.
You're like, oh, I get it.
When he's like, I'm monkey brain, there's shit. It's all beeps and boops. I'm like, yeah.
It is. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in Korean music where I like it because I'm ignorant of it.
Oh, where it's just like when you first heard Japanese music, anime songs, and you're like, oh shit.
And I was like, this shit's bopping. Hell yeah. But then like I learned some of the language, and then you like, learn some of the lyrics are dumb. And you're like, oh, I'm like, oh, I guess all me and my friends are doing whatever. And it's like, yeah. But like Korean music is kind of in this space where like I have no fucking idea what they're saying unless they say like Chingu or Pabo or like Bagelpa. That's all I got. That's my whole Korean knowledge.
Yeah.
Or Shiba, like just say fuck you in Korean.
Yeah.
If I knew the language, I know I would hate 90% of what I jam to on the radio or on my iPod or in my Spotify list. But when I'm listening to Twice and I'm like, oh, fancy.
Yeah.
I'm like, hell yeah, this shit's a bank because I don't understand all the dumb shit they're talking about. I'm living in ignorant bliss, dude.
Wow. Speaking of Korean music.
Mm-hmm.
So lately in my YouTube feed, I get videos for Korean baseball cheerleaders.
Dude, those are the best. The fan cams?
Oh,
hell,
my
God. Those girls are smoking.
God.
And holy shit.
I don't, like, obviously I'm weak, so I clicked one of them.
You're only human. You're only human. I understand.
It's been... What a week. What a week it has been watching these ladies.
Your algorithm is fucked.
Just dancing their heart out to cheer on the crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
What else do I got? What other playlist do I have? Oh, the one called Songs That Would Appear on MSN Messenger.
Oh, wow. So like 2000s era?
So like 2000s era. So I got like Every Time We Touch by Cascada. That's a banger.
Oh, yeah.
Skater Boy.
Or Heaven,
obviously. Yeah. Torn by Natalie Ambrosia.
I forgot that was a feature on Messenger. Can you do that on Discord?
So when you link your Spotify to your Discord, it'll show that you're listening to Spotify.
But not the
song.
And if
they hover over it, it'll show you the song.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It doesn't show you it in the bar. Like,
that requires...
You're playing Overwatch. It doesn't do that. But that you got to hover. It's like one more step.
Too much effort.
Yeah. Hit 'em up style, Blue Cantrell.
Wow.
Dude.
Wow.
I write Sins Not Tragedies, Panic at the Disco.
All right. Yeah. Shake
what
that
else?
Ass.
Shake that. Shake your ass. Watch yourself.
Mystical. Oh, my God. Wow. Oh, good song.
I'm trying to think of some, like, usually actually modern stuff. I like most Doja Cat songs are pretty.
Do you good. Really?
Yeah, I like Doja Cat a lot.
I like Charlie XCX.
She's okay. She's fine. I think there's a lot of like other, I think she's really popular because she's like one of those like indie pop artists that like kind of broke the ceiling into the mainstream. Mm-hmm. But there's just like a lot of other bands that are actually indie pop that are better.
Probably.
Yeah. Like Everything Everything, I really like. They're a great band. Okay. Alvays, so ALVV.
Okay.
AYS, they're pretty good. I'm trying to think of some other music. Rina Sawayama's got some bangers. She just came out with a new song called Hell.
This really gets you hype?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she's got some banger songs.
Okay.
What else do I got? Oh, Schoolboy Q for When I Think I'm Black. Him and Freddie Gibbs.
Oh my God.
Like, rolling down the street like the guy in fucking Office Space.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
Who's the... What's the one with Chris Brown and the... What's his face? The white guy. I woke up in Chris Brown's body.
Oh, Lil Dicky.
That's the one.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good song too. More metal. Mastodon is a absolutely fantastic band.
Yes,
Mastodon. Everybody loves Mastodon. I've been getting into Slayer lately.
Really?
Just like going back to the 90s. Wow. Listening to Raining Blood. Oh, another one of my top favorite bands is the OCs. They change their name every like fucking year. So I think right now it's just OSEES. But before it was THEEOHSEES.
Got it.
And they just don't want to keep their name, but they have this, my favorite song is probably Toe Cutter Thumb Buster. That's a fantastic song. Very
high. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, they're a sick band. They have two drummers. They play in unison. It's so cool. Rain Girl by Yeji. It's a good song. Yeji makes some good... She has some hype songs, but mostly she's more chill. JPEG Mafia makes some great shit. There's a lot of great music, all right? You want some modern Chinese pop? Lexi Liu. She makes some cool shit.
This gets you hype?
Yeah. This is all the stuff that gets me hype.
Wow. You have a very low bar to get hype.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess. There's a lot of music I like, as long as it has some energy, like I'll be there. Oh, I just bought tickets for this band. Otoboke Beaver, all female Japanese punk band. They're fantastic. They're all coming right to Toronto, so I bought tickets for that.
All right. Araki. Okay.
Yeah. It's good. I don't know. There's a bunch of music. Dude, fucking Ghetto Boys?
Ghetto Boys.
Damn.
Oh, yeah.
Damn, motherfucker still.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Cool.
There's a bunch of stuff out there. More Asian rap. Audrey Nuna, damn right. That song's sick. Audrey Nuna makes some bangers. She actually featured with Jack Harlow before Jack Harlow was popular.
Really?
Like Jack Harlow featured on her song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
damn.
It's a cool little tidbit.
Neat.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of music out these days. If I had to recommend like one album that's like kind of hype the whole way through.
I don't know.
Probably Tourist History by Two Door Cinema Club.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that album's a 10. And I think there's a lot of songs on there that'll like, it's not overly hype like a Slayer, like you're going to just like lose your fucking mind, but it is like upbeat. You're going to get into the mood to do something. And if you're doing something active, it's going to help you kind of like push along and like you're going to go with the beat and that kind of stuff.
All right.
So I would recommend that.
I'll recommend what I'm currently listening to is the
gas. I'm going to step on the gas.
Is the EA Sports.
EA Sports.
F1 official soundtrack.
They always, EA Sports games, I know I give them shit, but they always have banger soundtracks.
For all their like actual sports games, they put on such the hypest songs.
Especially FIFA.
Yes, on FIFA. You could look up any year of FIFA, look at that soundtrack, and be like, all these are bangers. Like they just, and they always play them in the menu. Like, and it's never for long.
Yeah.
But then sooner or later, you know all the songs.
So that is actually one, if you want like the nerd tip.
Yeah.
And what Vin said, any FIFA game.
Yeah.
Look, even like FIFA Street back on the PS2.
Yeah.
Like, look at any of those soundtracks, maybe like Burnout 3 and up as well.
Maybe.
But yeah.
Actually, yeah, you know what? I really liked Paradise soundtrack.
Yeah, that was a good soundtrack.
Yeah.
But the FIFA games especially, if you want to be like, quote unquote, on the cutting edge of music, the people who pick the FIFA soundtrack are actually like a bunch of dirty hipsters.
Yeah.
And they pick all the cool shit before it's cool.
They do. They do.
So do that.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
It's very, and like, it's crazy because like, it's all like the dude bros. They love that music too.
You all got my Pele gold card on my FIFA pack or whatever. And then they'll listen to like the most hipster shit.
Yeah. Cause you'll be like, what are you listening to? And like this. And like, what?
Yeah.
Why?
Why would you ever do that?
I'm like, oh, I'm playing FIFA. I'm like, oh, okay.
Makes sense. All right,
all right.
Yeah. There's a lot of music out there.
Yeah.
It's great. Just cool. Go looking, dude.
Thanks for writing in, Paul. Anyways, you said you had one thing you want to talk about with your week, two things? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm updated with the boys. All right. I'm on like issue like 40 something of like 60 something.
Yeah.
So I'm almost done. That show's brutal. That show's absolutely insane. I don't want to say anything that
could spoil season three.
Could spoil season three or could spoil future seasons if they come there. But that show or that comic series is dark and gritty in all the right ways.
Okay.
And it's I think the best way to describe this show or this series in the comics is unforgiving.
Yeah.
Garth Ennis does not care about
your mom.
He doesn't care about the reader. He wants to put the reader in the most uncomfortable situations possible.
Yeah, I give it that.
And anything you would think of a superhero doing,
mm-hmm.
and you think it's like, oh, it's all fun. It's like, this is the reality of it. Like, they've probably taken it over in the show, but there are situations where, like, because all the supes are just, like, horn dogs with superpowers and stuff.
For sure.
And so, like, there are scenes in the comic book where they'll catch them. Like, the boys will do some reconnaissance, and they'll catch these supers with, like, hookers and stuff.
As one does, yeah.
And, like, these girls are, they don't know what they're getting into, and, like, some of them, like, just blow their own fucking brains out.
Yeah.
Or, like, if you have sex with somebody who's really fast, what happens to your human orifices? Yeah. They get torn up.
Yeah.
Right. And shit like that. And the amount of graphic detail this comic goes, I don't even know how it got printed in certain cases. There is some like truly not suitable for anybody's scenes. And this was like printed in mass in comic books. This is definitely one of those things where like if it was more popular at the time it was printed, it would have never been printed. There would have been a bunch of parents being like, how dare you print this filth and shit like that. And maybe somebody would have caved and like canceled the series or something.
No, absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot here that's just like, that's just wrong.
Yeah. And I've heard in the show that it's bad, but I can't imagine the show being worse.
I don't think it's worse than the comics. But yeah, man, having to have like sex at super speed.
Yeah.
Could you imagine you could only like get off if you could only at super speed?
Yeah, that'd be crazy. That like, it's like, what's that? Suck. What's it like, death grip syndrome?
Yeah.
Where like guys jerk off with their too hard of a grip and they can't ejaculate during sex or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, it's super speed grip.
Like, geez, that would suck.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. And the boys actually in the comic books, Homelander is there and he's always perceived as like, he's the bad guy. And we'll get to him eventually. But he's like almost never the true focus. I think now that I'm nearing the end of the series, he's coming more into his own. He's coming more into the limelight. But so far, he's always been in the background. And he's been more so just like the guy who's pulling strings. And he's the ultimate goal. He's the end boss rather than whatever. And all the other times, it's more about the boys who are dealing with the supes as a general concept. Rather than we're just dealing with this one person. And that's been really interesting.
Yeah. I think the show is kind of like that too. The only reason there's more emphasis on Homelander is because one of the characters has a direct connection. And like they never let you forget that.
Yeah. So I think I know what the connection is. But they mention it here. But in the comics, they just kind of drop it for a while.
Oh, yeah. Like they go off and do their own other things. But like they never let you forget that like this is the general end game. Like this is what's happening. This is what it's all for.
Okay. Yeah, and there's certain scenes I think I saw from the show that just don't exist in the comic, at least yet.
Uh-huh.
Like that scene with the blind superhero.
Oh, yeah, that was just for fun.
Yeah, I don't think that exists in the comic, at least not yet. I feel like it would have, but that's some creative liberty. So I'm actually now more excited
to watch the show.
To see what they've changed. And if it's that good with the changes, it kind of makes me a bit more hype on it.
Cool.
But yeah, that was really good. I got some new Runeterra decks. I haven't really played them enough to talk too much about them.
Sorry. Runeterra is the
League of Legends card game. What do you think I was talking about?
No, because I thought you finished your decks for that.
I did, but a new patch came out.
Oh, God.
And they nerfed my boy. They nerfed my boy Pantheon.
Oh.
They did some dirt nasty shit. And they didn't even nerf him directly. They just did something that fucks that deck over specifically.
Okay. So good.
There's a card. Was it Daybreak something? Oh, Zenith Blade. There's a card called Zenith Blade. It's a spell. If it's the first card you cast in the turn, you get a bonus because it's got Daybreak.
Okay.
And what that card did is that it buffed your dude by, I think he gave you 2/3 stats, 2 attack, 3 defense. And actually, I'm going to look it up. Hold on. Zenith Blade. Runeterra. There it is. We got... Oh, sorry. It's only 2/3 because of the bonus. So it's a 3-mana spell. Grant an ally +1/+2 and give it overwhelm.
Okay.
The nerf... Oh, sorry. And if you cast it as your first card, you draw another Zenith Blade from your deck.
Okay.
So the nerf that happened to this card is that now it still grants all of those stats, but it only grants the stats permanently, and then it gives overwhelm for the round.
Oh.
And so the problem with that is that since you're only pumping up one character, you have no kind of like evasion, basically.
Uh-huh.
And they can block, if you don't have overwhelm, even if you have a 30-30 dude with all the keywords, you can't get through a 1/1.
Yeah.
They'll just chump block it and they take no damage.
Right.
So that's a really bad one. That really hurt. But the other one that really hurt is one of the keywords with Pantheon, because when his whole thing is that when you target an ally in 5 different rounds, he evolves and then gets a keyword for each round you targeted an ally.
Yeah.
You generate randomly all those keywords. One of the keywords was called Scout. And Scout is that on your attack turn, if you attack with only Scout creatures, that institutes a free attack. So you can get 2 attacks in 1 round.
I see.
But now Scout is not a generatable keyword when it comes to randomly getting keywords out of a pool. They just took it out of that pool.
Okay. I see you're going this way. Yeah.
And so those 2 nerfs that weren't directly targeted at that deck kind of killed that deck.
I see.
Yeah. So I'm experimenting with some like more meme-y stuff. I got some... Hecarim and Callista Ethereals.
Okay.
Ethereal cards in that game are like you drop them and then usually they're pretty powerful, but either they die after they attack or they die at the end of the turn. And so you use Hecarim to bring them back and you make this like ethereal army. It's really weird to play. I'm not used to it yet, but that game continues to be pretty fucking good.
Fair.
So yeah.
Cool.
But really the stuff we've all been doing.
Some more than others.
Some more than others, it's true. Some have been neglecting their duties in order to...
I don't know about you. I've been doing everything. I do my whole duties.
Yeah. There's certain... I know what duties you're passing up.
All
right?
I'm doing all my responsibilities.
Okay. But Monster Hunter Sunbreak.
It's out.
It's out. We've been playing it like crazy.
Yeah.
You're the farthest.
It's a surprise to me too, guys. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Me and TJ are actually... TJ, surprisingly, TJ is the least far.
Yes. You guys disappointed me.
Right? The guy with the most playtime, I think, on the PC version out of all of us is now the least advanced in this game.
Yep.
But I want to know, Vince, give me an overall thought of Sunbreak. Does it improve on Rise? Is it a good game now?
I think Sunbreak is the game I always wanted Rise to be.
Yeah.
That said, it has gone so far in a direction of immediacy and action
mm-hmm.
that I really do not want to see this kind of direction taken in another Monster Hunter game.
I can totally get behind that.
I do, like, the level of complexity that they've added to just the combat is now at a point where it's at my ceiling, and any further, this might as well just be a character action game.
Oh, see, we're at the same conclusion, but yeah, for different reasons.
And I don't want a character action game. Like, I don't want Ninja Gaiden, mm-hmm, but I feel like this game is trying to do that.
Yeah.
And I do not want that. I also don't want all the extra enhancements of, like, your Palicos, the fact that everybody is incredibly strong. Mm-hmm. And it just, you can tell that it is not quite what Monster Hunter, I don't want to say should be, only because...
Has been, maybe?
Yeah, because a lot of the enemies were never designed to take on the kind of wailing you're giving them now.
Yeah.
I still think World, specifically Iceborne, was the peak of Monster Hunter, mm-hmm, which I don't think is surprising considering that is considered by even Capcom themselves as, like, the main Monster Hunter.
Yeah, that game's crazy.
Like, the Switch ones, Generations and Rise were always the B-team Monster
Hunter. Yeah, everybody, don't forget, this is B-team Monster
Hunter. Yeah, this is the B-team Monster Hunter. That said, there are inclusions to this game that make it so much fun. They've really focused on trying to give you more options and creativity in terms of your utility and your kit versus just the standard Monster Hunter theme of add more attack, go boom.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they've added, you know, different ways in order for you to synergize your combos and your abilities. A lot of the new monsters they added are neat. I will say, not quite interesting enough. Mm-hmm. I think only one monster that they've added has actually been very cool. But yeah, otherwise,
it's Malzino.
It's Malzino.
Okay. Yeah. Dude, when he, like, teleports and shit, that shit's crazy.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. He's like what an asshole. I'm looking at the playlist. Anthony, you have put in 20.7 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I have.
TJ has put in 22.9 hours.
He's put in more hours, but he's less.
Yes.
Damn. That guy's been grinding the low ranks.
I've put in 25.2 hours.
Oh, so you fucking main veined that shit. You're just, give me the drugs, baby.
But you guys had more opportunity to play than I did.
Did I? Or was I being social?
No.
I was. It's true.
On Friday? No, you weren't.
On Saturday? No, Sunday I was.
So Friday, Saturday, you had free.
Did I do something Saturday?
Game came out on Friday.
I think I was gaming on Saturday. I was playing Tarkov. That's what I
was Friday doing. Was a holiday.
Yeah.
You didn't play the Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I promised my friends I'd play some Tarkov with them.
Lame.
Yeah, I'll talk about that next week.
And yeah, that's where I'm at. I think I really do like it. I'm enjoying it. I've beaten more or less the main story. I am in the end game, mm-hmm, and I'm still having lots of fun. I can't wait for the fall update with new monsters.
Various monsters.
But no, I'm having lots of fun with it. It's a good game. I think if you didn't get into Rise, obviously this is the one. This is the time to jump in.
And it's kind of hard to, like, also recommend, like, a over $100 buy-in because you need the base game to play the expansion.
Right.
And then you need to get through the base game to even get to this content.
Right.
Right. But I think I'm pretty much in agreement with you, but I think for different reasons.
Okay.
So the part where you're like the combat complexity,
uh-huh,
is too high.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, almost too high. Like, it's... Like, they're riding that line, and if they went any further with mechanics, especially with the Switch stuff,
yeah,
they'd be alienating a lot of people. But on the turnaround, and the reason I think that that's not actually that big of a deal,
mm-hmm,
is because this game is still very easy in terms of, like you said, older monsters are not equipped to deal with the amount of movement you have as a hunter and the amount of tools at your disposal.
See, like, I think I would disagree with that. I don't think the game is necessarily... I think it feels easier, but I, mm-hmm, think if you were to draw, like, for example, Elden Ring.
Yeah.
I think Elden Ring has pretty jank combat.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that game is hard not because I can't do the movements.
Yeah.
It's hard because I have to actually think about my movements.
Yeah. You have to work within the realms of the within the bounds of the mechanics.
And Monster Hunter used to be like that.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Rise sidesteps that at the cost of, let's say, the player having more hand-eye coordination. And I don't think...
Those twitch muscle fibers.
And dude. I don't think that that trade-off equals more people can have an easier time in this game. I don't believe that.
See, so the thing with that is if you're mechanically endowed,
yes,
all right, that is one level of ease that helps with that game, right? If you're utilizing all the switch skills, if you know where your guard points are, game is significantly, I would say, easier than World and Iceborne.
Yes.
But on top of that, for the people who aren't mechanically inclined,
yeah,
these armor sets and skills are so fucking generous to where if you build a full set, you're fine. Like, I don't think there's too much that you can't handle.
Online lobbies disagree.
Listen, when people are coming in with, like, underleveled shit, then yeah. But, like, all other things being equal.
No. And that's what I'm saying. Online lobbies represent the mainstream majority audience. And the amount of times I have failed a quest because...
One dude carded three times.
Yes.
Listen, you're not wrong. But we're not talking about the plebs, all right? We've been talking about Monster Hunter since the beginning of this podcast.
Okay.
Right? Uh-huh. And we're talking about people within our wheelhouse who have been playing Monster Hunter, some of us since one, some of us since like two portable on the PSP where to claw that shit.
Yeah. Right? Freedom Unite.
And people in our situation.
Yeah.
Like, you blew through a whole expansion in under 30 hours.
I did.
Like, think how crazy that is.
I'm
about how good you are.
I am that good. Listen, do not try and emulate my skills. I'm just that good.
I'm built different. All right. God damn.
You know what? My coworker said that to me today.
Like, for real? Like, unironically?
Yeah, because like, oh, he's like, God, what did you do this week? Why didn't you come in to work? And I'm like, I played Monster Hunter and I beat it. And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, man, it took me 20 hours. He's like, damn, you built different.
God damn. You got the external validation. That's crazy.
I was like, wow.
But yeah, like, I don't know. Like, people who are veteran hunters.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like they give you everything you would ever need plus some in this game.
Okay.
And I have made so many mistakes in this, like trying to get some level 3 charges on the greatsword or going for really risky air plays with the sword and shield. And at every turn, that game allows you to just be like, hey man, it's okay, don't worry about it. Did you get hit by the Malzino beam? Bro, it's okay. I let you eat for fucking Defender High every match, right? Because you get the Dongo tickets. It's just like, you'll get every skill you would ever need if you plan it out accordingly. You don't need those Twitch skills. You just need to read the instructions.
And that is where problem 2 comes in. I don't believe everybody likes to read. And I will say that is something that this game has not taken away. There is so many like behind the scenes mechanics that you will never know if you just choose not to read or talk to people.
It reminds me of that fucking Kotaku article that made me so mad, where it was just like, Monster Hunter Rise does a terrible job at like teaching you the game. And it's like, in the article, they mentioned, I did not play the tutorial. And it's like, you fucking idiot. Like, goddamn, Kotaku, you're killing me here. Like,
I will say the tutorial to any Monster Hunter game sucks.
But
like, it is a slog.
I would equate it to a textbook.
Yeah.
It teaches you what you need to know, and it will go over everything. But it's dry as fuck.
Yeah. Like, it is horrible.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But going through this game, a lot of the new monsters are sick. Malzino's, I think Malzino is one of those monsters where when I play him, I'm like, this monster was made with the mechanics I'm using on these monsters in mind.
Yes, yes.
Right? Certain things like his fucking M. Bison from Street Fighter V teleport backdashes and shit. Like, he is focus attack dash canceling people into laser beams. It's nuts. Mm-hmm. It's so cool. But then when you go back and you face people like, even Hermitar got like a little bit of an upgrade. He's got some new attacks, a little lunging punch when he runs to the side and stuff.
I guess.
Yeah. But when you go and fight like Arathian, you're like, that's Arathian. I know every tell. I know every single thing that's happening. I'm just going to equip my lance. I'm going to counterblow everything, and I'll literally take zero damage.
Yeah.
And that's where the game, I'm hoping in the DLC and in the later end game stuff, I'm starting to see a kind of a difficulty spike for where I'm at.
Yeah.
And that's really nice as a long-term player.
Where are you at?
I just beat the mid boss for 5-star.
Okay.
Yeah. The half and half boy.
Okay.
I don't want to give too many spoilers yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, our boy half and half.
Okay.
And they're starting to hit hard, like you said. I think a lot of the difficulty, at least so far, has been, I'm just going to hit you hard.
It is.
And take off a lot of life.
It is.
Rather than, like, here's some, like, mechanically interesting shit.
Yeah. No, like, they hit insanely hard.
Yeah. And if you get hit by the knockback attacks and you're near a wall,
you're done.
Yeah. It's just insta-stun.
You're done.
You better hope someone else takes aggro.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's so much cool stuff, and I think, for me, at least, the depth of how many things are in this game make up for any shortcomings or complaints I have.
Yeah.
Where, like, again, the depth of the combat system,
yeah,
you can master that shit with any weapon. There's so many weapons to do it with. They're all equally as complex, and they're all equally as rewarding.
Yeah.
The addition of the level 4 slots with the hard gems and stuff like that to just make your ultimate sets. They've expanded out the cats and the dogs for you to get different skills, and you can min-max that stuff.
Yeah. Did you see how you can min-max your cat now?
You can give him like extra memory and stuff, and like
you can take skills from other cats
and then transfer them over.
Yeah.
To make the perfect cat.
I know.
I stopped using the dog.
And then you can go and take all 5 skills of your cats and swap the middle 3 for any other 3.
Yep.
And then they give him an extra skill.
Just for funsies?
Yeah, like, I don't know what you're using. I'm using the lottery box.
Oh, really? Okay.
Do you... Fireworks? The fireworks? No, I have that one. That's useless.
Or is it?
Do you know that the lottery box gives you a Dragonator? Like, it's instant knockdown?
Yeah. But it's a lottery. Could be nothing.
But it's always the Dragonator.
I was using... the mega boomerang so far. I haven't switched it out yet.
If you have health problems, use the bats.
The bats, okay. Oh, that one. Okay, yeah, I have that. That super
that
skill.
That keeps you alive.
So I've been using it on Greatsword.
Yeah.
You do like 1 or 2 level 3s. That thing is maxed.
Yep.
And then it's like, I'm going to go for this risky level 3. Oh, I got hit. Boop, 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 boop. I'm full health. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of crazy.
But again, like, those are the things where it's, if you don't do the side quest, you don't get it.
Yeah.
Right? For sure. If you don't read, and then it's one thing to know the side quest is there. It's another thing to do it. And then it's even another thing to equip it, like even know where to put it.
Yeah.
So it is.
And that's the test if you're a true gamer.
Just watch a YouTube video.
I'm sure there's some fucking Gaijin Hunter video going on. I've been doing the flooded forest mining route.
Yeah.
I got like 2 million Zenny. Almost spent like half of it already.
I think I got to go back and do that just because my last armor is just very expensive.
Build the master rank leather set. It'll give you, like, it gives you botany 3, geology 3. It gives you everything you would ever need.
There's a lot of cool sets that require very specific things you have to do.
Yep.
I don't know. I think the follower quest system is neat.
Where you go on the AI with it. It's a solo quest, but you're with the AI guy.
So that's the follower.
Those are fun.
And then you can do the support where you can pick 2 AI people.
Yeah, those are cool.
Yeah.
I did the one with Baryoth.
Okay.
That was really fun. I got to go back because you had mentioned, I forgot they unlock stuff. See, like even me, I unlocked the side quest. I read what it did, but I didn't do it. And
yeah, so the thing is they don't tell you what it unlocks, but you look at the weapon that they're using and you're like, oh.
Oh, that looks cool.
Yeah, I like their... Royal greatsword. I think I want that. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
I think this game is at a point where I'm like, all of my worries from like original Rise and why I got bored so quickly are kind of gone now.
Okay.
Especially with all the variants coming out. So what, Lucent Nargacuga, and what was the second one that's coming out? You remember the monster? It was Lucent Nargacuga and somebody else.
I can't. Yeah. Seething. Basil geese?
Yeah, seething basil geese.
Yeah.
So I'm ready for those guys. And then I'm sure in this game we'll get a Fatalis, right? Because we got it in
I can't imagine anytime soon. It'll probably be
It'll be the last DLC. Because we got it in World. Hopefully get some sub-variants. You know, get some magma.
Yeah.
Get some white Fatalis going on.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, I went back and finally played Valstrax.
Oh, worth it.
I sold that shit. No problem.
Yeah, tide rank. Of course. Dude, you're at end game of master rank. What are you talking about?
Dude, easy. Easy class.
What are you guys talking about? That shit's so easy.
I can't believe you guys struggled in that shit. I made his whole armor. Get out I made of everything. Here.
Oh my God.
So easy.
Yeah, that fight's really cool. I haven't seen a high rank version or a master rank version of it yet, but it looks. I think that's a fight worth going back to once you get HR 100. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, I think I'm like HR 150 now.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know. I just really like this game. I think this is a really. Good. How do I phrase this? It's a good recovery of this version of Monster Hunter.
Yes.
Where I was like, oh man, Monster Hunter Rise, it's a fucking baby game.
Yeah.
God damn. And then they came out with this. They're like, all right, we heard you. Here's some hard shit. Here's some more interesting stuff. Here's some more depth.
And you can tell this is definitely the more advanced version because in the end game, like the thing you have to do to grind, oh boy.
Hell
yeah. Is it a grind?
Hell yeah.
It's not an easy grind. It's just grind till you die.
Yeah. That's Monster Hunter, baby. That's how it goes.
Yeah. I do what was I gonna say? There are some things I wanted to point out, I guess if you're debating on this.
Mm-hmm.
For Sunbreak, the UI is even further cluttered. Like they added more stuff to the general UI.
Borderline MMO level.
And I have to say, don't play this on the Switch. Because
play it on your TV.
Yeah,
don't play a handheld.
That's I just don't know how you can even read anything on your UI.
Oh yeah, I guess for clarity's sake, we're playing on PC.
Yeah, so like we have no problem. Like obviously we're playing in HD and
HD 1080p baby.
Yeah, like full whatever 500 frames a second.
Did you put that shit on your wide ultra wide?
I did. Yeah, because it goes 21:9.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, if you're playing on Switch, like be aware that. You are not playing the optimal version of this game.
For sure.
I don't know.
I think it's good. I would recommend this game now, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's definitely worth playing for if you're not already into the Monster Hunter, I don't know if
go back and play one.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the one like I don't know if
I don't think Sunbreak specifically would be the one to get you into Monster Hunter, but I think Rise is a friendly enough starting point for like if maybe you played World and you're like, this is too methodical, this is too grindy, whatever.
Yeah,
like Rise is gonna give you that quick hit of just like, here's what Monster Hunter's about, here's the loop, check it out.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
It's not at like such a technical, like methodical pace to where you get turned off of it.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. It's a fun one. I also do like how it's knights themed.
Yeah, sometimes I go back to the Weebland because I got to get like quests and talk to people and stuff. I'm like, I miss the Weebland.
I don't.
But the thing is that the new town, there is no separation between single player and multiplayer.
Yeah.
And everything is in one section, no loading screens. Yeah. And I'm like, I knew they were going to pull this shit. They always do it.
And there's like, there's no reason to go back to
Kimura. There is no reason to go back to Kimura. Unless you want to, you know, you want to check up on the ladies.
But they're in Elgato.
They are sometimes in Elgato.
When you unlock them to be support girls.
Yeah, they're just chilling.
They're just chilling there.
Damn. Elgato's really got everything.
It does. Yeah. It's the best. It's got a castle.
You can go feed a baby bird.
Yeah, you can.
Did you get to that one where you go up on the crane and you can like overlook the big pit of water?
Oh, yeah. You eventually find that, like, that's the last mission.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a lot of like cool... aerial like platforming bonuses in that hub world too.
Yeah.
Right. There's some sub quests where it's like go take pictures of cahoots or whatever, but you got to do some hardcore parkour to go find three separate pictures of cahoots and stuff. So
no, you don't.
That's what I had to do.
The first one's yours.
First one's mine.
The second one's
you had to jump up onto the nest where the nest is
for the baby.
Yeah, up there for the baby.
Yeah.
And then the other one was the collecting nest. That's there.
You know the command post where the admiral is?
Oh, does he have one there?
He has a white one just
on
the...
What a little bitch. God damn.
On the board.
Oh, lame. Less cool. But yeah, I think so far Monster Hunter Rise is pretty sick. I want to talk about some of the other monsters, but maybe I'll leave it for later. Maybe like next week or week after.
Okay.
just so people don't get spoiled.
You guys got questions? I got answers, baby.
I got answers too.
I finished it.
You did. I didn't finish it. You saw credits.
Yeah, you're weak. You're so weak.
I'll get there. Damn. All right. Fuck.
It's good though.
Get off my dick.
It's good. I can get back to my life now.
Yeah, until we catch up and then we're like, hey Vince, you want to do that grind? And you're like, fuck.
If you catch up by tomorrow, then yeah, I'm free tomorrow.
I'm not free tomorrow.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, I got a concert tomorrow.
That sucks even harder. Is it not the Backstreet Boys?
No. I'm going to go see Roger Waters.
That's infinitely one of the, more lame.
What the fuck?
Than the Backstreet Boys?
One of the members of Pink Floyd?
Who cares?
You're crazy.
One member of Pink Floyd or the entirety of the Backstreet Boys?
I would take Roger
Waters. The entirety
Waters
of the Backstreet
over
Boys.
Over the entirety of the Backstreet Boys.
I would
Boys.
Not.
Well, then you're wrong.
Pink Floyd is a band. I need the band.
No, one of them, I think one of them's dead.
Well, then I guess you
and
can never have that
the
concert.
The other one, what are we talking about? Paul McCartney plays Beatles songs all the time.
Yeah, it's not the Beatles. It's Paul McCartney.
It's a Beatle.
I don't want a Beatle.
And that should show you
no.
how much better Paul McCartney is than all of the Backstreet Boys.
I thought you were going to say all of the Beatles. I'm like, what?
No, no. No, he was an okay songwriter. I think he was like the third best there.
Exactly. So Paul McCartney, not worth checking out over the Backstreet Boys. I got it.
No,
cool.
I'm telling you, one cool. Beatle is greater than all four of the Backstreet Boys.
You're telling me one Volkswagen outdoes the entirety of the Backstreet Boys?
Yes.
You're crazy.
Yes. Exactly Hitler what I'm supporter. Saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Ew, dude, the car of the people. Free cars.
What weapon are you playing in Sunbreak?
So I was playing Sword and Shield. I actually didn't switch out my fucking low rank shit or my high rank shit until like 3-star.
Yeah.
And then I switched over to Lance for a bit.
Yeah.
I used the Becerios Lance. Get that poison going on.
Yeah.
That shit's broken. And then I currently am using the Greatsword.
Oh.
So I'm doing a lot of big hits, hitting for quad digit damage.
Yes.
It's pretty. I hit some guy for like 2,300 the other day. It's
sounds about
sick.
Right. Okay.
And yeah, using all those skills in conjunction makes any weapon very good. So all of the buffs you get for charging and all the different ways you can dodge into a charge attack, like you are hitting these monsters for like 1500 average.
Okay.
And like you're knocking them down like every third hit, so it's pretty sick. Recommended.
Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, but I think I might try and make I already see a couple sets where I'm like, dual sword, eh? Hey, dual sword, eh?
Yeah, there's yeah. some like the inclusion of the switch skill really. I've seen how people use a dual sword with the because like some of them it was either or.
Yeah.
But now that you can have them both at the same time.
And you're like doing the insta dodges, the Bushido dodges.
They've done, like, they've combined some of those dual sword things that look real cool.
Yeah. And I've been seeing some people play the dreaded long sword.
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, do I become what I hate? Do I become what I hate, Vince? I don't know. It looks pretty cool.
You should.
And I bet I could do it better than all these fucking nerds.
Oh, wow. He said it. Okay. You better do it now.
We'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
Put me on Team Dark Side, baby.
No. No. No, no, no.
Yeah, I think Rise is totally sick. I think it is a recommendation in my books for sure. Yo, Final Fantasy 14's on sale. Buy it.
Sorry, no. I was looking for a Final Fantasy Origins.
No, it's not there.
I want to see it be on sale.
It's too new. How's it going to be on sale?
It went on sale like 20% a couple weeks ago, but I missed it.
The Best Buy sale?
I can't remember.
All right.
Yeah.
But that's our show. That's our week.
Yeah, that was Monster Hunter. If you're playing Monster, let us know if you want to. If you want to,
we can make the
what
those Hunter Connect rooms.
We can
make a little clan going on.
If you want to see my dereliction crit chain,
what are you licking?
My dereliction.
You're gross.
Chain crit.
That's
blood right.
Sus. God
charge
damn.
Blade.
All right,
hit me up.
I bet you're charging your blade.
Oh, I am.
God
till
damn.
It becomes a big axe.
Coming in for that blood right. God,
you know,
damn.
Absolutely.
Terrible. Disgusting.
Got a vampire, you all.
Ugh.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.